I think I should come a little closer to you, Bobby. Okay.
Let's see how this works. Give the people some time. Hi everyone, we're just giving everyone a moment to get in the room so that we can discuss some fun today. Can you close that door for us?
Mm-hmm.
It's much more silent that way. Hi everyone, welcome, welcome. We're going to be discussing some important topics today that are facing the communities and facing a lot of women. Hi, Nick. I'm fine. We should just get started, right?
Yep.
Hi.
Hey, everybody.
Glad you're enjoying the book. Okay, so today me and Mambo Sandy came together because we want to discuss something that a lot of women are going through, a lot of people are going through, and kind of not even knowing why these things are happening with them or what's really at the root of the situation. And many people have been dealing with these problems secretly without any avenues of any help, but also without having been able to really confide in anyone to be able to help them. Hi, darling star. To confide in anyone who's dealing with these issues. So I'll let Mambo Sandy start.
Okay. So as, you know, women, we go through different times in our life that we have different things going on with our hormones. However, what I've noticed is that a lot of focus and emphasis is put on when you're in those fertility years of your life, when you're fertile, when you have your menstruation and you're going through that. But nothing is spoken about menopause. It's like a dirty secret. Nobody wants to talk about this. So as Papa said, a lot of women suffer like in silence with many issues. And sometimes some of those issues, you don't know what they are, you know? One of the issues dealing with menopause is the thinning of your hair. Hot flashes is so commonly known, but nobody goes into why you're having those hot flashes. And those hot flashes can actually start, actually the whole perimenopausal thing can start as early as 30, 32, 33. And you might say, see that maybe your eyes might be dry, you know, and you just chalk it up to allergies or something like that. That's what I did. You know, I was sitting with a friend, and I was like, are your eyes dry? And they were like, no. So I didn't pay attention to that being one of the signs. And the sad thing about this whole menopausal thing is that it can affect your spirituality as well. If you don't have a firm base, okay, with your spiritual things going on with yourself, it can truly wreak havoc on a lot of things because you can become fatigued, all right? And we're already dealing, especially if you're a spiritual worker, all right? You're already dealing with a lot of different things. And now your hormones are off, okay? And now you may be wondering why, if you have God kids, you might become a little snippity snappity. And you don't even realize why this is going on. Because people don't talk about it. You know, you might be washing your hair and then, hi, and then all of a sudden you're starting to see your hair go down the drain, or you're trying to lose weight and you can't lose weight, and you're not even eating a lot of food. It's because your hormones are off balance, and then you might start craving certain things. I'll share my own symptoms. My god sister, Mama Toya, one day was doing my hair, and I was like 30. I was about 35, and she said, you know, your hair used to be really long and it's thin. And I thought it was just stress. Now going backwards, that's what it was. And then one day I called Papa up. I was like, Papa, I feel like Farai is around. And he was like, Farai's not around, darling. So now I'm starting to doubt myself, because I'm like, am I off base? What's going on with me? So I didn't know. I really thought it was the spirit. So this is one of the things that happened.
Yeah, like the thing about menopause, and it's not just with menopause, but it's with a lot of physical illnesses. I had several consultations earlier today, and people were going to doctors because they were dealing with high blood pressure, where they were dealing with chest pains, and were dealing with stomach issues, not realizing that these issues were actually being caused by spirit issues, by being caused by issues with their spirituality. And they would go to doctor, and doctor after doctor would be like, yeah, we don't see anything wrong with you. We've done tests on you. We've done this examination, that examination, and we can't find anything wrong with you. And it's very common. It's very common that when an issue is caused by spiritual problems, it's going to manifest physical illness. It manifests as a physical illness, but that illness can't be traced. And menopause, okay, also is a physical illness that at times can be traced, but at times can hide, okay, because hormones fluctuate. Even in a person not experiencing menopause, hormones fluctuate. And there's lots of illnesses that are hormonally based. A lot of the illnesses that are hormonally based, when they come and they test your blood and they test it, it could just be the wrong time of day for you. It's going to show up as if you're not dealing with that problem. So many women get misdiagnosed as like, there's nothing wrong with you. Everything's okay. We don't know what's going on. You know, you say you're experiencing these symptoms, but we don't know what's happening because the diagnostic testing is coming back clean and clear. It's because throughout the course of any given day, your hormone is constantly fluctuating. The hormones that you have when you first wake up and the ones that you, the levels that you go to sleep with, are two very different levels. It's two very different experiences. The same thing when you eat or you drink or you suddenly experience a stressor. Many times, your hormones in constant fluctuation, and when they give you the blood test, they can't really define or determine what it is that's going on with you. And when there are spiritual issues at play, those can bring menopause or osteoporosis, other things to happen to you at a younger time in your life. You can end up undergoing these issues or these illnesses younger than what's normal. I know individuals who in their family line, you know, it's normal for all the women to start experiencing menopause between 25 and 30. And that's not what's actually absolutely normal. But some of these illnesses come down through the ancestral lines, okay? What your ancestors did and didn't do, the stresses that your ancestors dealt with, okay? That all comes out in the wash, as they say. It all comes out in your DNA. So your DNA from the moment that you're born is already pre-programmed, right? To have certain issues or have certain problems, because DNA is always copied. And it's just like a Xerox. If you're old enough to know what a Xerox machine is, you know that every time the next copy is a little lighter, a little more damaged than the last copy. Every time you make a copy, it's a little bit more damaged than the last copy. And DNA, the DNA that we receive, especially in minority cultures, okay, have undergone great levels of stress. And it's become so common to be stressed out that for most minorities, it's like, well, this is just how life is. This is just life. This is the way that it works. But in reality, what's happened is a lot of the ancestral wisdom has already been taken away. And that's not how life is. It's not how life has to be. And it's not how life is meant to be. Okay? It's what people have become accustomed to.
Yes.
Becoming accustomed to something and having something be that way is two different things, okay? You can get accustomed to all sorts of torments and tortures. A woman who's been abused in a relationship gets used to that abuse. She becomes accustomed and then eventually comes to say, well, that's how things are. Okay, and her tolerance level for it goes up and up and up because this is how things are. But things do not necessarily have to be that way. Our traditions hold the keys to ancestral unlocking and the healing of DNA, and DNA can be healed. This is proven by science that DNA strands can be healed. However, it is a process, and it is a process that's going to take some work and effort because, as we always say, if it was easy, somebody would have already done it. Okay? It would have already been taken care of. Anything that's easy usually has fast come, fast go. Where we come from, we say, like, when you make fast money, it gets spent fast, okay? A lot of, fortunately, our modern culture, we don't even want to wait for the microwave to ding, okay? So fast come, fast go. And we often see cases of people having undergone spiritual treatments for various issues that really, okay, are like Tylenol when surgery is required, okay? So what happens over time is the system can only take so much. You have something constantly beating against your system, and it's going to break down. Who is stronger, the rock or the water? The water always wins, okay? It may take it longer, but the water has more patience than the rock, okay? And so over time, it starts to create cracks and breakages in that rock, in which that rock starts to fall apart. The human body is designed to deteriorate. From the moment that you are birthed, okay, deterioration starts, and you go up, up, up till you hit a peak, usually in your 30s, okay? And then it's kind of like downhill from there, okay?
So
it's usually downhill from there. Why? Because the human body is designed to deteriorate, right? The human body is actually rotting slowly away. It's a beautiful vessel, okay?
You're right.
But this is why, like, in old age, everyone is starting to experience aches and pains, and we can't do things that we used to do when we were 20 years old, right? We can't sit around or lay down the same way. Our hip hurts, or this hurts, or that hurts, because the human body is designed to deteriorate over time. So a lot of women who are experiencing menopause take medicine, and they find that the medicine doesn't really give them much relief.
It makes it worse. Like, they'll start to lose hair. A lot of these hormonal treatments, you have to be so careful because, as Papa said, you know, there's always some type of payment. And with those certain medications, all those medications, they don't tell you if you're over a certain weight, it might not work the way it works for someone that might be 150 pounds versus somebody being 180, 200 pounds. The same thing goes with birth control. You know, some women have said that, oh, they took birth control and they still got pregnant. Then the doctor or the, you know, whoever they go to, they're like, oh, well, you know, if your the fine print says if you're over 175 pounds, the less effective the birth control is. It's the same thing with the medicine. Now, since I've been going through this myself, I have not done any medication. I've only been doing herbs. Like for dryness, no, women don't want to talk about this because everybody wants to be juicy. No, then what, right, Papa? So no one wants to talk about it. You have so many women. Imagine being a woman in your 50s and 60s and you're walking around uncomfortable down there. How are you going to be happy? So that's where that term, what is that, an old dried up woman?
Mm-hmm.
An old dried up woman. Sadly to say, in a sense, you are. But I'm not going down with the shit. I just refuse. But what Papa has done with his meditations that I do and the classes and things that I've done with him, my symptoms, I'm not going to complain because I see women in the stores that they'll sit in there and they're just fanning, or they're just melting, literally. So makeup is almost out the equation sometimes, unless you got waterproof makeup, you want to do that. But doing his meditations, I've noticed that my symptoms are not as bad as many people, other women I talk to, and they tell me, you know, about the dry eyes, insomnia, that they can't sleep, like they're up for the rest, like once they go to sleep and they may about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, they're up, or they're up 1 o'clock and everybody's asleep. Now you have less patience to deal with people, which goes back into the whole physical thing of getting enough rest. You know, I had to change my whole schedule of sleeping because they say that you get fatigued. Yeah, you're fatigued because you're not getting rest at night. You become fatigued. Now you become grouchy and you're grumpy and your hormones are fluctuating up and down. What I did notice with myself, too, is your skin will get drier. Some women experience acne, but for me, it was like my skin got drier, and it was like ever so slight, these little symptoms, the way they like to be insidious and creep in your life. I'm like, why is my skin so dry? And why is this? And sometimes you might even think you're getting punishments from the spirit.
Yeah.
I did. I would call Papa and I'm like, Papa, this happened. And he's like, no, you look all right. And then that's what I love about Papa. Sometimes he makes you figure things out on your own. So I had to sit there and I'm like, okay, he said it's not the spirits. I'm good with my spirits. And then I'm looking at my age and I'm like, oh, menopause. Okay, this is what this is. So you have to take better care of yourself. You have to take better vitamins. You have to use better shampoos. You have to eat better, period.
One thing that's really common in our communities, especially among spiritualists, is that spiritualists have a bad habit of not giving themselves proper care. Spiritualists, like nurses and like doctors, we're so busy constantly taking care of other people that we don't take proper care of ourselves, okay? A lot of spiritualists are just so tired by the time that they've taken care of everyone else that they don't have the energy left to take care of themselves. Over time, this breaks the spiritualist down. I've seen lots of awesome spiritualists go down simply because, not because they weren't great spiritualists, simply because over the time of taking care of everyone else, they haven't taken care of themselves. And another funny thing that spiritualists do is a lot of times we'll give other people the best of the best. Okay? But then with us, we want to go to the dollar store and get the lotion from the dollar store. But we want to go and get the Clinique for somebody else. Okay? We will be very cheap with ourselves, meanwhile spending great deal of money on others. And this is a big problem with spiritualists, because spiritualists are taught this has to do with being humble. Okay? Humble doesn't know itself. Meaning, if you're really humble, you wouldn't even know it. If you're actually humble, you don't know that you're humble. If you think that you're humble, then you're not humble at all. Okay? Just in saying that you're humble, your humbleness has become a badge of pride. Mm-hmm. Okay? By thinking that you're humble, you now put it up as something you're proud of. True humbleness doesn't know that it's humble. It has no frame of reference for it. Okay? And humbleness doesn't mean crapping or shitting on yourself, okay, or treating yourself lesser than you treat others. The same amount of care and attention that you give to others, you need to give to yourself, especially if you're a spiritualist and you're taking care of other people. You cannot take care of other people if you yourself are in a bad position. And someone really wise, a wise Mambo once told me, and it's very true, that when you're no longer here, if you die and you're no longer here because you haven't properly taken care of yourself, everyone's just going to move on to another spiritualist. Okay? They will just move on to another spiritualist. Someone will take care of them sooner or later. So there is no such thing as, you know, taking care of yourself to the point that it's taking care of others to the point where you're undermining or being detrimental towards your own health and wellness. Okay? And it's very unfortunate, because I'm about to segue into something. It's very unfortunate that nowadays the majority of spiritualists out here are book spiritualists. What do I mean by that? Yes, I pulled out the T. Okay? It means that they have not been spiritually trained. They've read a whole bunch of books. And next year, they're going to start lying and say that they've been involved for the past 20 years. Okay, and they're 22 years old. Okay, they're 22 years old, but they've been practicing witchcraft since they were for 25 years.
Reading tarot cards since they was 8.
Reading tarot cards since the sperm was still a sperm and the egg was still an egg. But they were reading tarot cards since their last lifetime. Okay, don't lie on yourself, my people. Don't lie on your ancestors. People's ancestors, I see them all the time rolling around in their graves, okay? Because their Christian grandmother is like rolling around in her grave because now her grandson or granddaughter is claiming that she was a spiritualist, that she was a root worker when she wasn't. The truth is usually way more interesting than a lie. Okay, it's fine to have just discovered the spiritual path. It's fine to just be engaging in the spiritual path. It's a beautiful thing that you've discovered it and that you started engaging in it. But unfortunately, these days, a lot of so-called spiritualists have no foundation, and there's no foundation with them. They've attempted to learn everything out of books. And this is a very much a problem here in the U.S. because people in the U.S., y'all have commitment issues.
Big time commitment issues.
You have big time commitment and trust issues, and you have commitment issues because you have issues in committing to a spiritual path and learning properly from a teacher. Okay, here in the US, it's the land of the DIY, but this is not a DIY type of project. Mm-hmm. Every other day, we see spiritualists popping up, offering products and services and things of to cure things that that same quote-unquote spiritualist is dealing with themselves, okay? I see people who are dealing with anxiety and depression claiming to help people with anxiety and depression. I see people who have no love in their lives and haven't had no love in a long time.
Yep.
Okay, doing love work to try to help people in their love relationships. Okay, to be a spiritualist doesn't mean that you have to be perfect and everything has to be worked out for you. However, certain foundational things are necessary, and there's no way that someone who's 25, okay, has been doing spiritual work for 23 years. No. Okay. There's no way that someone who's 25 pops out and says, yeah, I've been doing this since I was 20 or 20. Like, I'm 25. I've been doing this for 20, 22 years. Okay. And lying about their spiritual backgrounds. Okay. It's kind of disgusting. In fact, you know, as I told the joke earlier today, like, if you want to find a liar, just go to the spiritual community. You'll find plenty. Okay, because it, unfortunately, and my aunt, my madrina told me this long time ago, was that there will be a time where you'll come to find out and you'll come to see that in the spiritual community, that 90% of people are just walking around lying. Okay, there's people teaching classes. That's become the new big thing. Okay, is teaching classes. It's become the new wave in spirituality, which is funny because when I started doing it, that was a problem.
It was.
Okay, and when I started doing that over 10 years ago, okay, online, it was a problem. But now the new wave is everyone's teaching classes on shit they don't know. Okay, they don't know jack, but they're ready to teach the shit that they don't know. Okay, based on a whole bunch of books that they've read or little mini courses that they've taken, okay, or that they have a natural ability, okay?
That's the new one, probably, natural ability.
Okay, listen, let me tell you a little truth here, okay? If you are a brujo, every brujo was born a brujo, okay? Every Beyonce was born a Beyonce. Okay, but that didn't mean that she was born with them great singing skills. Okay, she was born with an innate talent. Yeah, she had some talent for singing, but she needed training and development in order to make that singing work. Okay, lots of people come to me complaining about, you know, these spiritualists, and I don't say anything because it's not my place. I don't really have nothing to say. Okay. I have nothing to say for them or against them, but they're complaining about spiritualists who have done them wrong. Well, you decided to go somewhere where you could pay a dollar and you get a dollar's worth.
Walmart, okay? Spiritual workers.
You know, the pop-up spiritual workers and the Walmart spiritual workers. And spirituality is an investment. If you're not willing to invest in yourself, okay, if your hair, your nails, and your car is more important to you, then keep your shit there, okay? Because if you're not willing to invest in yourself, don't expect for the investment to come out towards you as well. These things have, nothing in the world has ever been free, okay? We are not Christians, okay? Jesus offers his salvation to people supposedly for free, and look at how many of them, and look at what they're doing with it.
I've also noticed a lot of times recently, especially recently, people like to try to use hoodoo, okay, and say that they don't need a mentor for that. That's a lie. That's a big fat lie. Any of these traditions, African spiritual traditions or Caribbean based, you need a mentor. And what I've noticed, Papa, is a lot of people popping up saying, I'm eclectic. Eclectic to me just says, I don't want any commitment. I don't want to learn from someone, and I want to do what I want to do and mess people up. Recently, on TikTok, that's the new thing now. You have a lot of, they call them baby witches or baby brujos or whatever. And, you know, they're saying you don't need a mentor, or they're a medium and they've been doing mediumship for so many years. So why do they need a mentor? First of all, what I learned from Papa real quick was it doesn't matter how long you've been doing something. You can be doing something wrong for 20 years. And I've also learned being with Papa is this. The way spirits mess you up is very insidious. So you might think that you've been doing this for 20 years and, oh, nothing's happened to me. I don't know. Maybe that's why you have all these panic attacks. Maybe that's why you have all this depression. Maybe that's why maybe the spirits are not attacking you, but they're attacking your children and they're bipolar, or your husband is acting crazy.
Maybe
or,
you can't get a husband.
How about that, Papa?
Okay. Maybe you're upset because you can't get a husband. Maybe you're wondering why you can't get a husband. Maybe you're wondering why you're so, quote, quote, an introvert. Okay. Mm-hmm. Most, when a spiritualist develops, they become an omnivore. It means we're extroverted when we need to, we're introverted when we need to be. Most spiritualists are naturally introverted in the beginning of their path. Okay. However, proper spiritual development makes you an omnivore, aka being able to deal with whatever life throws your way whenever life throws it your way. Okay. You're not too scared to go outside. You're not too affected by other people's feelings. Okay. Oh my God, I can't be in this place because it's so negative. Okay. I'll walk through hell and I'll be just fine. Okay, and I'll be like, hey, sweetie, hey, boo-boo, what's going on with you, Lucifer? What's going on with you, Legion?
Okay? Exactly.
Develop spiritualness when you're properly developing, okay, and you've developed to a certain degree, you have natural protection. You are not affected by every little wind that blows by. Okay, and I see it all the time, especially on Fakebook, is, you know, lots of spiritualists have, quote unquote, spiritualists having meltdowns, okay, having mental, emotional meltdowns, and having things like, oh, I just need to be away from Facebook for a week. How come it is something that is fake, aka Fakebook, affecting you that deeply? That it's affecting your life. If you're a spiritualist that is here to help other people, okay? Our traditions are being heavily watered down,
yes,
by the American, basically DIY, non-committal culture, okay? I see lots, like what Mambo Sandy mentioned, lots of people out here, well, I do hoodoo. I don't need a mentor. I know various people who are writers of hoodoo books who are mentors to people, okay? And one thing they will tell you is that everything that they know ain't written in that book. Every piece of a recipe is not written in that book. Every last step that you need to know is not written in that book. Books are there to awaken your mind. To wake you up, to be like, here's a little something so that you know it exists. Here's something to get you started. It's not supposed to be the end all be all of your training or development. It should only be a compliment, meaning it should only be complementary. It's not an alternative.
Right.
The same way that people say about spiritual work that we're not an alternative to medicine, to the doctor. It's the same way about books and spirituality. They're not an alternative to having a mentor. They can be a complement. They can be a supplement to having a mentor, but where they can help get you started, right? And discover that there is a pathway, but it's not a substitute. It's not an alternative. And if we look at today's society, tons of people are dealing with a whole host of mental issues, okay? OCD, bipolar, anxiety, depression, manic depression, you know, hearing voices, and yada, 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 okay? And what we also notice is a whole bunch of DIY spiritualists, okay?
Exactly, is that.
And people don't realize that they're being affected, okay? And one's arrogance.
The arrogance, that's the big thing nowadays.
One's arrogance stops one from being able to see clearly and to be able to know what's actually going on. Okay, it's good that you discovered the spirits. It's good that you discovered the spiritual path. If you say you respect something, you go about things in the proper way. Yeah. You don't hack and schmack, okay? If you supposedly respect the spirits, then you go down the pathway that the spirits have created for their people, okay? If you respect the ancestors, you respect the fact that the ancestors even said you needed a mentor.
Yeah.
Okay? You respect the spirits and the tradition so much. You respect the fact that the tradition says you need a mentor. Just the other day, I read about how somebody put up a little altar to Oshun, lit up a yellow candle, put up a bottle of Hennessy for her. Okay? Yup. And their house caught on fire. And they're like, well, I guess this is why you don't put up altars. Yes, that's exactly why.
And you've been saying that for years.
However, here in this culture, it's like everything is, oh, go set up an altar. Oh, go set up an altar. When people come to me, the first thing they want to do is throw up an altar. What are you throwing up an altar for? An altar to what? An altar to something that you haven't developed? Okay, what's the rush?
The problem, you're keeping the power. Okay. If you don't let me do this,
okay,
then you're holding the power back from them.
But there is no hold back because you have no power to begin with. Okay, so real quick, my godmother, my mother, and I would just tell you straight up, you ain't powerful, you ain't got shit. Okay, because what people think about, okay, you did a little hot footwork and somebody moved away, we call that shit parlor tricks. Okay, those are parlor tricks. Those are little things that people can do. A real spiritualist can do all kinds of things that go above and beyond that. And alongside of that, a great deal of people are taking hoodoo, okay, and calling it voodoo.
Mixing it.
Mm-hmm. Mixing it with voodoo. There's a lot of people out here claiming to be Hungans and Mambos and Papa Bokos and Mama Mambos, okay? Yeah. And what they're doing is they're taking hoodoo recipes and hoodoo processes and they're pulling it over into the voodoo realm, adding some of our work, and then calling it voodoo. But that's not voodoo, it's called hoodoo. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, we do share a lot of similarities naturally with hoodoo. Why? Because hoodoo, okay, is a practice that came out of the same groups of ancestors. Okay? It's a practice that contains or kept many of those magical processes, mm-hmm. but because of Protestantism in America, okay, lost a lot of the spirits or the deities of those people, okay. The spirits and the offerings and those spiritual practices, okay? I'm not invalidating hoodoo. Hoodoo is a beautiful thing, but call a spade, Okay, you don't need, if you want to learn voodoo, if where you're practicing or what you're claiming to practice is Haitian voodoo, then practice Haitian voodoo. Learn Haitian voodoo. Don't take hoodoo and then throw it in alongside of Haitian voodoo and call that voodoo. That's not voodoo. Okay, every day we see people popping up. Oh, I'm a hoodoo, I'm a conjure worker, I'm a hoodoo, I'm a conjure worker. You can't just name yourself that.
The community named you Mama, whoever, or Papa, whoever, not yourself. That's what I learned about hoodoo, that you had to prove yourself. Just like when I met Papa, you know, he already had a client base because basically he built that up over time. He didn't just pop on the scene like nowadays. I had a matter of fact, I have a little quick story about that. I had a person that they had one business, and a year late they came to me and they wanted these classes and they wanted all this different stuff. So basically, I didn't do what they wanted me to do and how they wanted to go about things. A year later, they popped on the scene and now they're working with Freda, they're working with La Sirene, and I'm like, didn't you just have like some other business like last year and you came to me? So me being me, I was like, so who's your godparent? I don't have a godparent. How? Like, you can't do that. You cannot do that. And being around Papa and learning things the right way, it takes time. And it seems that a lot of people, they come to you and they have all this crap on them, like whole tons of on them. And then if things don't start to work right away, they're ready to go. But you've had all these weights, all these bricks, all these stones in a bucket for all these years, and now all of a sudden everything is just supposed to be coming up roses. And this takes time and investment. You say anything over, what is it, Papa? Over $100 nowadays, and be, oh, that's too expensive. But you just bought
Nike.
Nike or bundles. I'm gonna call a spade a spade. You bought bundles or the latest, those new shoes. Hey, everybody, these new shoes. So, where are your priorities at?
Yeah, a lot of individuals think that when it comes to hoodoo, that you don't need teachers. That's a falsity. Okay. And I think that was 2006 or seven. Okay. I went down south to help set up a botanica in Raleigh, North Carolina, 2006. In 2006, I went down to Raleigh to set up a botanica. Okay. And I was lucky enough that the person who wanted that botanica set up, they had actually grown up going to root workers. Okay. And they took me to a root worker down in Fayetteville. If you've ever heard of that place, it's not too far from Durham, North Carolina. And that root worker that was there, first of all, he was old as hell. So he was like 60 some years old, and he had a line of cars waiting outside, okay, to work with him. And he was very well known and very well established in that community. And I sat with him, I got to sit with him throughout the day and see that there in that location, there was still a lot of people that approached the work in the old way. There was a lot of people that came through, and they might have known a little something, something. They might have known a little trick or two. They might have known a little work here or there, but they wouldn't just throw themselves in and do it. They would come to him to consult to make sure that was the right thing to do, or to make sure that they had the power to do that at all. Okay? And they didn't automatically assume that they could just do something, right? And one of the people that came in brought her son, okay? And her son, she basically like slapped her son in front of the root worker because he decided that he was going to do a little something, something on his own. Okay. And that little something, something caused him a whole hell of trouble and slapped him, the son, who was a younger dude, because basically the son was just being cheap. He just didn't want to go and pay to get the proper root worker to do his thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Root workers, okay, are very similar in a way to brujos in the sense of root worker. You can't just choose to be a root worker. Okay. You either born a root worker or you're born not. Okay. Either you're born for that or you're not born for that. You might not reach it right in your early age, but you're either born with that power to work with the roots and to work that conjure work, or you're not born with that power to do that work, okay? Mm-hmm. Just like some people are born, okay, to be mechanics, and other people like myself, okay, like I'm not born to work on computers, okay? I see a computer, all the insides of it. I don't even want to be bothered, okay? But my mind don't work that way, okay? So being a root worker, being a conjure worker, being a brujo, okay, there is a real way to go about this. And, like, I have one of my goddaughter here, Mama Starcassis, and Mama Starcassis is a root worker that's been trained by real live root workers, okay, by other living individuals, and had a number of her own mentors in root work who mentors people and teaches people, who takes apprentices of people doing root work. She's written a whole bunch of books. Those books are to give you an introduction to what it is that we do here, what it is that she does there. It's not meant to substitute for an actual mentor, an actual teacher. So there are root workers out here that are mentors and that are teachers of root work, and that can help you learn that path. That is a path in and of itself, okay? But everyone's just tacking it on at the end of the name. I'm a astrologer, hungang, mamboish, brujo, espiritista, santero, conjure doctor, hoodoo, two-headed doctor.
So okay. Everything.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Now everything is just, let's just tag another title, tag another mm-hmm. title, tag another title, tag another title, which is why in Puerto Rican espiritismo, there never was any titles. Why? Because a title can give people the false sense that that person actually knows something.
And they okay? don't.
And the title can give people a false sense of trust. Mm-hmm. Okay? If you have 5 and 10 titles, you're a jerk of all trades and master of none. Jerk of all trades and master of none. Okay? Because these things take a very long time to learn, okay? And they're actually very complex. They're very beautiful, but they're very complex, okay? And it takes a lifetime to learn them, okay? These things are not like, you know, I see people all the time. I'm a santero, palero, voodoo priest, astrologer, hoodoo worker. Okay, just the Lua by themselves are a job and a half, darling. They're a job and a half. And if you're a spiritual worker that works for other people, okay, you're not just taking care of the Lua in order to take care of other people. You have to take care of the Lua to take care of yourself.
Not enough hours in a day.
There's not enough hours in a day. And you'll see people, oh, I work with every spirit in the book.
So you have an altar with all of these things. And that's the thing Papa's also taught, is that people go too much now by their eyes. you see someone with a big altar online and you think they're all powerful, whatever. And a lot of times that is not the case. Most of the times that's not the case. You know, so there's a lot of falsities that keep being put out there. And I myself get a little disappointed because I'm like, where are the some of the elders to say, hey, you know, what are you doing? But the problem also comes in with mentors is that people want you to feed them everything with sugar. And my very first mentor, Miss Gail, who I'm so glad I ran into for Papa, she was very strict. And she put in that instilled in me to respect your mentors. Nowadays, when people get a mentor, they want to just be able to ask a million and one questions and expect answers. One time I asked Miss Gail who Madama was. It was a statue she had on her, it was a spirit she had on her in her kitchen. And I asked her who it was, and she said, you don't need to know who that is yet. Then I asked her about something else one day. She said, why do you keep asking me these questions? I will tell you what you need to know. Now, if you said that to someone nowadays, what would happen, Papa?
They get upset. They throw a hissy fit. Okay? Because they have a problem with, really, I'll tell you where the real base problem comes from. Okay? Basically, they didn't get their ass whooped enough. Okay? That's like one of the basic problems right now in humanity. Period. Point blank. Amen. They didn't have any home training. Okay. Because when I was growing up, it didn't matter who it was. If they were older than you, okay, that was your boss. Mm-hmm. They could be 1 year older than you, and that was your boss, and they had the right to discipline you. They could be 2 years older than you. They could be 100 years older than you. Okay? And the way of these things come from our ancestral cultures. Okay? In our ancestral cultures, you respect your elders. In our ancestral cultures, you do what you're told. And you don't ask questions, okay? If it's meant for you to know and you've taken the time to find a proper mentor, then you should be able to have the trust that you're being taught what you need to know and learning what you need to know as you go forward. There's certain knowledge that once you have it, you become responsible for it.
Remember, Papa, the game I asked you? A real quick story. And Papa, I had to go to the cemetery to do something. And I knew there was a spirit at the gate. And I said, well, Papa, do I need to do that? He said, no. And he wasn't all. He was like, no, you don't need to know who that is right now. And I didn't say why, but maybe he heard it in my head. But he said to me, if I tell you who this is, now you're going to be responsible if you forget. And the thing is, when you have certain knowledge, now you're responsible. There's no excuses. So he was protecting me. But nowadays, when you try to protect people from themselves or from things that they don't need to do, you are being dismissive, and you know, you're not trying to teach when maybe that's not for you. There's many things that I know are not for me. For example, you'll never really see me do a party by myself. Why is this? It's nothing to be ashamed of. And that's the problem I feel in the spiritual community is people feel ashamed because they can't do everything. And everything isn't meant for you to do. That's why it's a community. That's why there is a house. So I will always come to my Papa, because once you understand the complexities behind a party, you're not going to be so quick to want to, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Because my papa has a nice little way of teaching you a lesson about things. And he allowed me one time to kind of do a party on my own. And I came back, I'm not going to lie, like a little lost dog with their tail tucked between their legs, limping. And he was like, that little wink that only papa can give you, that now you see. And some people could have took that. Some of these people nowadays would be like, oh, your papa, he did you wrong. No, he was teaching me a lesson. And that's the thing. This tradition is not for the weak. It's not for people who don't want to listen. And some of the lessons are not, being a brujo papa, are not easy lessons. Sometimes the spirits test you and they'll take things away from you that you really love, could be family members, and they can be quick to punish because you stepped out of line. What do you?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't realize that those are your own punishments. Okay, you don't see that in actuality. You might think it's just life. Okay, but the problem comes when you bring your Americanness into things that are not American. Okay, you bring your entitlement and your privilege. Okay, and let me tell you something. Entitlement and privilege is something that doesn't just affect America. It kind of affects the whole damn world. Okay, and a lot of people saying, you know, they're not white. Well, you're just as entitled and privileged as they are. So you fooled me. Okay, a lot of people are saying I'm not this, I'm not that. Well, you act just like them, so you fooled me. Okay, so bringing that entitlement and that privilege, it doesn't work in African traditional paths, African traditional religions, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't work on that way. When I was being trained, we weren't allowed to ask questions. Okay, questions mean get slapped in the face. Question that. Okay, we weren't allowed to ask questions. Okay, instead, we were to come to them with what we thought. Okay, come to them with what we thought and what we were thinking, and then they would say, okay, yes to this, no to that, yes to this, no to that. Okay, the ancestors didn't just hand you all the information on silver platter like, oh sweetie, get a book, let me tell you everything. Okay,
you learn by doing.
You learn by watching.
Making mistakes sometimes.
Sometimes making mistakes. Sometimes making assumptions. And when you make those assumptions, you made an ass out of yourself. And they had a good laugh. They cracked the hell up, and then they correct you. Okay.
Or fix you.
Or fix you back up.
Patch you up. Like Papa has done. And see, I'm not gonna come over here and act like I have had my butt whippings. Okay, there's been times I've called Papa up like, Papa, I went and did something. Remember that time before I opened my foot up?
Mm-hmm.
So y'all want to get into these things so fast? Well, one day Papa told me to do so. I forgot what it was. It was long time had passed, and it was something so simple, but it was so simple that I forgot. So I think we were preparing to go to DR. And I was downstairs in the altar room, and there was no reason for this glass that where it was for me to hit my foot on it. Well, I hit my foot on this so badly that my whole foot opened up and blood was just all over the floor. It was just all over the floor right in front of Getty. And I had to pray to Getty because I felt your life force, which is your blood, leaving my body. And I called out to Papa, Getty's in the Papa, you know, and I'm like, please, what did I do? And finally, because he wasn't going to make it easy, like Papa said, when I didn't get a hold of Papa, he was like, darling, are you all right? He knew what happened. And that's the thing. A good godparent knows what's going on with you without you even having to open your mouth. He knew that was a bow-bow. And he was the one that stopped the blood. He knew. But it was a lesson that I learned. And that's the thing. I think Ms. Gale wanted to slap me too, because I think she was like, no, I'm not slap this girl. But I got punished, and many people get punished, and then they wonder why. Like, remember I cut my hand in Philly? Mm-hmm. I had cut my, another time, I was supposed to do something that Papa told me to do, and I didn't do it. Not mean like I'm going to not do it. No, I didn't do it because I forgot. For I don't want to hear forget. Should have wrote it down. So I was cutting a bagel, and usually I cut a bagel away from me. That day I cut it differently, and I cut my whole hand. So these are the lessons that we go through, but everybody wants to be a brujo, but they don't want to pay the consequences, the time, the investment, and respecting their elders. And just real quick, elders don't always mean old. See, that's the other thing in this tradition nowadays. You think because you see somebody with gray hair, they know everything. And you're wrong, they don't. So sometimes people skip over good teachers because they think that that person doesn't know something because they're younger than them. That person could have been in that tradition from the time they were a child, and you were not. So I see a lot of people, I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it, that's like 35, 40, just now getting initiated, and now they got God kids.
And since we talking all the mess, okay, I got one more mess to talk to y'all about. Okay. A lot of you guys may not be progressing because you have your loyalties fucked up. Okay. You're loyal to people instead of your spirits. When you're loyal to your spirits, that means you're loyal towards progression, to progressing yourself spiritually. A lot of y'all are wanting to progress. A lot of people do. I believe in you guys that you want to progress. You want to learn. You want to grow. You want to improve yourself, or your life, or your spiritual capacities to help others, whatever your calling be, okay? But you can't. And the reason a lot of times you can't is because your loyalty is to people instead of to spirits. And your loyalty is to the wrong people, okay, instead of to the spirits and the right people, okay? Loyalty goes both ways. It's a two-way street, okay? And you should be loyal to those who are loyal to you. And if someone's loyal to you spiritually, they want you to grow because they want your spirits to progress. And they want to assist you in that. If they're not loyal to you spiritually, then they're not loyal to you at all. Okay, and they're not worried about your growth, your learning, or your progression. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot of people out here create a lot of dependence instead of independence. Mm-hmm. They create a lot of people, they disempower people, okay, mm-hmm. instead of empowering their people. And they want people to stick with them no matter what, even though they're not actually helping people. Nope. Okay, so a lot of people are stuck in fucked up situations spiritually because your loyalties are fucked up. And you're wondering why your spirits aren't fixing it. It's because you are the problem. Okay, the problem is that you're holding loyalty to people who don't have loyalty to the spirits. Because when people have loyalty to the spirits, they help the spirits' people progress. They don't hold back the people of the spirits. They don't hold back the children of the spirits. They support the children of the spirits to progress, but to progress in a way that's proper, mm-hmm. to progress in a way that's actually according to the way that it is to be done, okay? And when you hold your loyalty in the wrong space, okay, to people instead of to your spirits, okay, you're going to find yourself blocked up. You're going to find yourself stagnating. You're going to find yourself with problems, Okay. And when you hold your loyalty to your things, a lot of people, they're loyal to their job more than their spirits. Okay. Don't get in the way of their job, though. Don't get in the way of the job. Okay. Or they're loyal to the fact that they have to have, like, look a certain way, or that they have to dress in brand name clothes, or that their loyalty is to money. Okay, their loyalty is to dollars. Their loyalty is to fucking Calvin Klein. Look, I wear Calvin Klein. No, it's nothing against it. Okay, but their loyalty is to that more so than to their spiritual growth and towards your spirits. Okay, which is why they're not willing to pay the cost that it takes to be the boss. Okay, and it's a cost to be the boss. It doesn't, being a boss ain't free.
Nope.
Okay, who do you think has the most problems in the world, the peasant or the king? Okay, who has to work the hardest, the peasant or the king? It's the king who works the hardest. It's not the peasant. Mm-hmm. The peasant worries about himself and that's it.
Yep.
Okay, the king worries over the whole country. Okay, so when you put your loyalty in things or in people above your spirits and your spiritual growth, and don't come to wonder why you're stuck. The answer is obvious, okay? Your loyalty is to people instead of your spiritual growth. Your loyalty is to the dollar bill rather than your spiritual growth. Your loyalty is to the job rather than your spiritual growth. I've seen tons of people that be like, oh yeah, I'm too busy to do that. Too busy doing what? Watching Netflix? Too busy doing what? Going to work? Okay, or we've had people, here's a little funny story for you, okay? We had a woman, okay? She needed a job. Anaïssa gave her a job. Then it was time for Anaïssa's party. She said, Anaïssa says, you need to be there in person. She says, I can't because I'm working that day. The spirit says, Anaïssa says, no, that's what, she asks Anaïssa, what do you want? She's like, I want you to be there in person. She's like, I can't because I'm working that day. She's like, well, that's what I want. So instead, she sends her down a box of beer. And she thinks that's somehow going to fix it. Okay. But Anaïssa said she wants to see your face. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there was no substitution with a box of beer. Okay. And what happened? The day of the party of Anaïssa, in the morning, she was fired.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, uh-huh.
In the morning, she was fired. Because she hadn't planned to make her way here, she wasn't able to make it. Mm-hmm. Afterwards, after the party, a few days later, she calls me up like, hey, I got fired. Why did this happen to me? Blah, blah, blah. It's because, bendicione Marlene. It's because you were told what was wanted. You didn't trust the spirit.
You gave the spirit what you wanted.
Okay, you gave the spirit what you wanted, and you decided that that's what you were going to give. Okay? So you got fired. Okay? So what do I got to do in order to correct it? Now she has to give all these other offerings, plus still show up here in person to give what was asked of and to show her face. Mm-hmm. And then 2 days after that was all done, someone from the company calls her and they're like, why haven't you turned up to work today? And she was like, because so-and-so said I was fired. They're like, oh, it must have been a mix-up. It must have been something mixed up or something. You're not fired. You're on the schedule. And she got her job back. So these things, it's not always about what you want.
Talk about when the spirit gives the people the money and they spend the money on something else. The biggest complaint I hear is, well, if I give you this amount of money, I'm not going to have this, or the spirit need to send me the money. I had a client that told me that basically they didn't have the money. And the spirit said to me, no, we gave the money. We sent the money. But because the spirit didn't send the money in the form that they thought that they should get the big one lump sum, they was like, the spirit didn't send me the money. So when I started naming the like this money that was given at different times, they're like, oh, this and that. I'm like, and see, that's the thing. The spirit will help you if you take steps toward the spirits. But Papa's seen it. I've seen it. People get the money, but then they want to spend it on what they want to spend it on.
And then say that they haven't had it. Mm-hmm. So these are all just a whole bunch of little facts we threw out for everybody over here. And we hope that you enjoyed, you know, play the replay, share. If you haven't already known this, okay, Mambo Sandy makes waist beads, as well as, I'm wearing one today, spiritual bracelets that she made me. Okay, one that she made for my little one, right, that are blessed and prepared. And also, I'm currently doing an Metrazili. I almost said Anaisa. I'm doing a Metrazili candle petition ritual along with offerings and petition ritual that you can DM me in order to get in, and we'll send you the information out. And we have lots of fun stuff coming up for the rest of this 2020 and the rest of the year. We want you to stay blessed. You know, 2020 has been a fucking roller coaster.
I'm waiting for the aliens.
It's been like 2020 has really rocked people's worlds, okay? So we definitely need to help each other, and people definitely need extra spiritual support during this 2020, because it has not been easy on a lot of people. It has definitely been a roller coaster. It has definitely been quite some interesting times here in 2020. And we wish all of you the best. Many blessings always. And until next time, we'll be back sooner or later. Many blessings. We'll see you soon. Thank you guys for coming in and joining us, Elisa, Star, Natasha, Jennifer, Madeleine, Sherwin, you know, if I've missed anyone, Lucien, you know, everyone who came in here with us. Thank you guys, Nancy, Tessa, thank you guys for coming in and sharing this time with us. Marie, you're most welcome. And many blessings. Oh, Craig.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for sharing with us. Many blessings to all of you. We wish you to have an awesome weekend. And I mean, you'll be hearing from me some more on Metrazili over there. So many blessings.